Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich.
This isn't just history. It's memory. This is our story, written in earth, water, and sky.
That's Logan York, a member of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma, retracing the steppes in Ohio where his ancestors lived 2,000 years ago. He's the narrator of a new digital docuseries called Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land. The series explores the indigenous people and the archaeological wonders they left behind, now recognized as a marvel of human ingenuity on par with the pyramids. We have three guests with us today to talk about the history, the archaeological significance, and this new digital docuseries and how it came together. So you just heard the voice of Logan York, who is a tribal historic preservation officer for the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma. He's also a citizen of the tribe and narrator of Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land. Welcome to All Sides, Logan.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And Jennifer Altman is director of historic sites and museums at the Ohio History Connection. She also serves as the project director for the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks World Heritage Inscription Project. Welcome to All Sides, Jennifer.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
And joining us is Diana Bergman, an award-winning producer, editor, and storyteller at WOSU Public Media. She serves as executive producer and project coordinator. Welcome, Diana.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here, finally.
Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land, is a project from WOSU Public Media. It's in collaboration with the Ohio History Connection, the National Park Service, and the Tribal Advisory Council, and it premieres tomorrow, Friday, November 7th, on WOSU's YouTube channel. Logan, I want to start with you. Before we talk about the docuseries, I wanted to talk about how the American Indian history has been taught and conveyed through generations, because it's largely been through the lens of white people. How are tribes working to take control of this narrative, and how does a project like this one that we're going to talk about this hour help?
Ooh, that's a big question. So we do a lot of different things. So we partner with different organizations who are educators, whether that's organizations like the Ohio History Connection, there at the state level, or even down to helping schools with curriculum or working with museums or, you know, a park. Really any way that we can tell our story in a better, more accurate way, that's kind of the avenue we can take. And that means that if there's anything involved with the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma in our history or culture, I probably have some kind of hand in it.
And whenever you were approached about doing a digital docuseries like this, did you think like, oh, that sounds like a lot, or that sounds like the perfect opportunity that I need?
It was kind of the perfect opportunity. It was something that we pretty much agreed I should do from the very beginning. You know, we work with a lot of the folks who I was interviewing already, so it's not like something was going to come out of left field to surprise us during it. So it was a really easy yes, and the fact that we can reach so many people about this history and the, you know, about the fact that we're still here, that's really important.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it means to be a tribal preservation officer? Like, what's that mean?
Yeah, so there's, another big question. There's lots of different things. So I deal with Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. So essentially that means at a very base level that any project that is on federal land or has federal money that involves ground disturbance, they have to consult with tribes that have interest in an area, you know, whether our history is there or we have sacred sites or anything like that. And so we deal with a couple thousand of those projects a year. And then that's one half. And then the other half is much more the historic preservation from a tribal perspective. That is education, you know, workshops, whatever I can do to help better educate the public, but also the tribe itself about our history and culture, arts and crafts, whatever I can possibly do. No 2 days are ever the same in our office. So we definitely are on our toes a lot.
And I wanted to give a sense of the Ohio versus Oklahoma part, you know, centuries ago, tribes flourished in Ohio. So give us a sense of the tribe's presence here in Ohio before the Indian Removal Act of 1830. That was President Andrew Jackson. So, you know, I mentioned you're with Oklahoma, but we're talking about Ohio. So talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah. So the only reason we are the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma is because 1936, with the Indian Reorganization Act, when we were forced to take a constitution that's modeled after the United States, we took the name of Oklahoma because that's where we were at that time. That's where the government was at that time. Prior to that, we had been in Kansas for a while. But we are from up here. Our homelands are Indiana, Ohio, parts of Illinois. So that's kind of our heartlands, especially northern Indiana as part of our heartlands. But we have villages as far south as Cincinnati. So this is definitely within our homelands of Oklahoma is really only a modern thing that was applied to us rather than name that we would have adopted naturally, most likely.
Okay, and so you don't live in Oklahoma?
No. I did grow up just north of Miami, Oklahoma, but I actually live in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay. And I wanted to give some historical context because it's important, you know, to talk about who controls the narrative. So this digital docuseries centers on those whose ancestors created the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks. So, Logan, did you, what made you want to be a part of this project?
Well, I'm a bit of a nerd to start. So archaeology and history has always kind of been my thing. That's the thing that I'll, you know, get excited and talk too loudly at parties about. So I kind of wanted to be a part of it from the very beginning, just from that personal side of things. But, you know, it's also that really amazing opportunity for a tribal voice to be able to tell a tribal story. Where a lot of the time that's not the case when we're talking about Hopewell archaeology. Very rarely in the past has it come from a Native perspective. So the fact that we have somebody on there who is talking and hosting this documentary from a Native perspective is relatively unique. We've had Native archaeologists obviously involved with Hopewell and the Hopewell story, but you know, the fact that we are very, very prominent in this and kind of at the very center, I think, is pretty special.
Diana Bergman, I want to bring you in here from WOSU Public Media, the project coordinator of all this. So as the coordinator, how did you find Logan to be a part of this? I mean, you were you looking for that tribal connection with the project?
Yeah, when we started the series, or just even talking about it, we obviously had to start meeting with organizations like Ohio History Connection, National Park Service, and very, very early on, they were like, you have to get a tribal advisory council, and you need the Native voice. That has to be the forefront. These are their, this is their land. These are their ancestors. So we did a couple years of just talking to people, but pretty early on, the first time we ever talked to Logan, he was so well spoken and just had this perspective, I think, that was really refreshing. And, you know, we knew we were going to go to these sites and sort of tour them with experts. But a lot of our experts are not Indigenous who know the history of these sites. Mm-hmm. So we knew we needed that continual presence, that tribal presence. And so when we met him, he was so amazing that I looked at my co-producer at that time, Mary, and said, I think he needs to be our host. And so we approached him and he kind of was all on board. He had to check with his tribe. But I just think it's just much needed because his voice or the tribal voice needed to be part of the whole thing.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the new docuseries, Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land, with narrator Logan York, with WOSU's Diana Bergman, and Jennifer Altman from the Ohio History Connection. Jennifer, I want to bring you in here. Can you tell us about the Tribal Advisory Council and how it came to be a part of this and shape the series?
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much. I think for us in all of our work, you know, at Ohio History Connection, we really... working with Indigenous history, we want to center Indigenous people. And so when, as Diana said, when we had those early conversations about the idea of the docuseries, it's just what we always say, right? There has to be a tribal advisory council. This is Native history. And so I was so appreciative, all of us were appreciative, that WSU was so receptive to that, and everybody was on board with that. And, you know, I think the advisory council and actually the fact that Logan is the host, it's so natural and it's so important to be able to take pieces along the way to an advisory council. So you're not creating something and then at the end, you know, bringing it to tribal advisors. It's a co-creative process.
So it's not like you're showing someone it at the end,
right,
and say, what do you think of what we
what
made?
Do you think? Exactly. Like that is actually not the right way to do this, right? It's to be co-creators. Mm-hmm. And having Logan's voice in there is just really special because he's been with us, you know, working with this for both the docuseries and on the larger World Heritage Project. Mm-hmm. It's on for a long time. And so, yeah, I think we just feel really excited about this, that it was a co-creative process, and just really happy that everyone is so receptive to that.
Logan, did you know much about Hopewell Earthworks before getting involved in this project?
Yes, I did. So when I was in school, that was one of the things that I definitely attached myself to was Hopewell and learning about it. One of my mentors in my previous position at the company I worked for before joining with the tribe was a Hopewell archaeologist. So I learned a lot from him. I knew quite a bit, more than the average person, will say.
Okay. I wanted to play some audio from Chief Glenna Wallace of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma. Let's listen.
And I can look at the mounds and I can hear the songs that they are singing, and I can feel and hear the stories that they tell. I have a special connection with that place.
Yeah, the docuseries is full of a lot of swelling music, so that's what you hear there.
Yeah.
Logan, the word connection comes up a lot in the first episode that I watched. For tribal citizens who were displaced from Ohio, why is the word connection so key, to feel that connection?
Well, I think it's something that's, you know, pretty standard across all people, and is the desire to connect with your past. And so the fact that we are a removed people, which means that a lot of our folks cannot connect with our physical past, and giving them the opportunity to do that is super important. And the first step to that is to make people understand that these things are still here, or that they are here at all. You know, the education system around Native sites and Native history is bad whether you are in Ohio or in Oklahoma. So if they're going to a public school, they're also not learning about this if they're not learning about it at home. So, you know, making people aware of it is that really important first step on getting them to connect with their own past, because this is our past. This is not an abstract idea of, oh, Native people built this. This is, oh, no, my ancestors probably were here building these sites and worshiping or performing ceremony or whatever they're doing there.
Jennifer, how would you describe Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks to someone who has never heard of it?
They're amazing places here in Ohio. And the short version would be the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks now is 8 sites that are listed on the UNESCO World Heritage List. Mm-hmm. And these earthworks were built about 2,000 years ago. And they are places of ceremony. That's why it's in the name, and gathering. So they are vast earthworks, 50 acres, 100 acres, huge spaces inside. And so the earthworks actually kind of are like the delineation, kind of the wall of that space. Mm-hmm. So there's an inside the earthwork, right? It might be 50, 100 acres, and then outside. And interestingly, what we see on the inside is that people weren't living in them. You don't see houses, like regular everyday houses and so on inside of them. What you see inside of the earthworks, which can range anywhere from a few feet tall to 20 feet tall, is ceremonial spaces, so huge timber buildings, henges. So people here often think of Stonehenge in England, made of stone. Well, these were wood henges made of wood. And so they are huge communal ceremonial spaces where people from near and far came together, and they you know, and this is where I want to like pass it off to Logan, right? They were doing the things that made them a people together. So we really encourage people, when you come to them today, you see the earthwork, right? Because the walls are still there at many of the sites. but you'll have to use your imagination that there were ceremonial buildings and wood henges and all kinds of activities that were happening in there that you can't see today.
Mm. So, Logan, can you tell me what types of ceremonies would have been held there?
Ooh.
is it another big question?
That's a big question. So we're not quite sure exactly what's going on there. We know these are places of ceremony specifically because they're building them. They're such monumental structures. They have the wood hinges. They have the wood buildings where ceremony is happening. There's probably dancing. There's probably music. There's probably some kind of, for lack of a better term, worship of whatever religion they're following or ceremonialism mm-hmm. that they're following at that time. It's been 2,000 years, so things have obviously changed. but exactly what's happening, we're not quite sure. These are processional spaces. We know that. We find some artifacts that kind of hint here and there. But exactly what is happening there, that's something that we have yet to discover if we ever can.
And Diana, we'll get into how this became a six-part series and how that's going to roll out in a little bit later in the hour. But when you started this project, did you know much about the Hopewell Earthworks?
We didn't know much. I mean, mm-hmm. we knew when we started to meet with Ohio History Connection, and we knew the importance of them. But I mean, I will tell you, even in the 2 years we've been, 3 years we've been meeting with people, we did 2 years of kind of meeting and researching and learning. Every time I meet with someone, I learn something new. But I think as far as the structures, they're just so amazing. But part of what came out of this is the idea that they go beyond just these structures. It's about the people who built them. And that's where we really shifted a lot in our vision of it as we sort of progressed into the project.
Originally, you thought you were going to tell a story about a land, and it became a story about a people as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. what it meant to the people, you know, who are the ancestors. But it just, we really, one of the main things we kept hearing is we want to hear about the humanity of the people, and mm-hmm. we want to be connected to them. That's where mm-hmm. the connection comes in.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk more about this, and we're going to talk about how the earthworks got the name Hopewell and why that's not popular with everyone. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking this hour about Hopewell Earthworks, the UNESCO World Heritage Site, and the new digital docuseries about it, and the ancestors who created it. Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land, is a project from WOSU Public Media in collaboration with the Ohio History Connection, the National Park Service, and a tribal advisory council. It premieres tomorrow, Friday, November 7th, on WOSU's YouTube channel. Still with us is Logan York, Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma. He's also a citizen of the tribe and narrates the new digital docuseries. Thanks again for being here, Logan.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Altman is from the Ohio History Connection and serves as the Project Director for the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks World Heritage Inscription Project. Thanks for being here, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
And Diana Bergman is Content Executive Producer and Project Coordinator at WOSU Public Media. Thanks for being here, Diana.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Jennifer, I wanted to ask you what it was like to be in the room in Saudi Arabia when Ohio's sites were added to the World Heritage List. And this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. So, yeah, there are now just 26 World Heritage Sites in the United States, and these were the 25th. So on September 19th of 2023, we were in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, at the World Heritage Committee meeting. And it's such an interesting thing. And Logan was there, too. And actually, that was really important. So we had representatives of Ohio History Connection and the National Park Service and five tribal nations, including Miami. And so Logan represented them there together. And you're sitting in a room. It's this huge conference room in Riyadh. And there are people from literally all over the world representing nations from all over the world. And you sit there for several days and you listen to other potential World Heritage sites, and you know they describe those, and there's conversation about them, and some of them get inscribed and some of them don't, and so there's this drama, and you're sitting there waiting for your turn because the United States, it's alphabetical, in English, so United States is towards the end. And when ours came up, you know, they play a video and then they ask if there are any, you know, comments, and there was nothing. It was a slam dunk. Like we had said all along, we want to do this to the highest possible level. And that's what, that happened. And so it was so thrilling to be there with our partners at the Park Service and representative of tribal nations with us there. And it's a moment where you can't really believe where you are and what just happened, because people worked on this. And I just came onto this project in 2016, but there are people who've worked on this for over 20 years.
Mm.
And that's a pretty amazing for them too.
And to put it into context a little bit, I mean, it's mentioned in descriptions of it that the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks is on par with the pyramids
yes.
in its importance. Yes. I mean, talk to me about that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that it's here in Ohio, and wow.
It is. So, yeah, for World Heritage, you know, there's a set of criteria, but the World Heritage Program is the highest designation for cultural and natural heritage in the world. Mm-hmm. We sometimes jokingly say in the universe, because we don't know of another. Mm-hmm. But to have places here in Ohio that have gone through such a rigorous process, because it is a rigorous process, and have cultural heritage experts from around the world really scrutinize. Like, we all spent a week together. Logan was there too. We spent a week together with an expert who asked us thousands of questions on the ground here. And you make it through this years-long process, and then the gavel comes down, and in that moment, they are a World Heritage Site. They are with the Pyramids of Giza. They are with Stonehenge. They are with Easter Island and the Grand Canyon. And it's just a really incredible feeling, because for many of us here in Ohio, we know there are mounds and earthworks. A lot of people might not really completely understand what they are, but they're so ubiquitous. They surround us everywhere. People assume that's like that everywhere, and it's not. Mm-hmm. They're globally significant.
Logan, how did it feel for you to be in the room where it happened?
Well, I think it was almost hard to believe. You know, people have been working at this for 20 years, but I came much more recently than that. So it was really special, because I've known about them for a very long time, because I'm a history nerd. So I knew about these things, but when the gavel came down, it was a lot more emotional than I thought it was going to be. So, you know, me, Chief Glenna, Joe Stallman, Josh Garcia,
yeah.
And Alex Weisau, we were all sitting there and we were clapping, and then all of a sudden we were all crying, and it was a pretty special moment that we were up there. We got the second longest standing ovation of the thing, I think. I think we figured it out, which was, you know, pretty awesome. It was a really special thing to have been a part of. And so, you know, the fact that the world is recognizing these spaces as at the same level of the pyramids, I think, is, you know, pretty amazing.
What year did that happen in?
That was in 2023.
Okay. So, Diana, were you talking about this project because of the World Heritage designation, or were you talking about it before that? Because you said it's been years.
Yeah. Probably about 5 years ago, we started to talk about it and meet about it. And then when it became inscribed, we were like, oh, well, we really want to bring this to the top. And we, between ourselves, were like, do we still want to do this if it's not inscribed? And we're like, of course, because it's still a really important part of history. And it doesn't mean it wouldn't be inscribed another time.
Or so when it meaning when you're saying that, you're meaning it's like nominated, but you didn't know if it would win.
No, okay. And we had conversations and we're like, yes, this is still important. We still want to do this regardless. But we were connected with Ohio History Connection when they were there, kind of setting up, can you get us some shots? Can you do this? Can you do that? Just in case, because, you know, our last one is going to be all about how that came about. So
And the Jennifer, the first episode of the docuseries, mm-hmm. Which is the one that comes out tomorrow, it outlines how Hopewell Earthworks came to be discovered and mapped mm-hmm. in the 19th century. So can you talk about some of those prominent figures? It's Caleb Atwater, Squire and Davis, sure. Warren Moorhead. What role did they play in preserving and mapping these areas just to make sure they didn't all get bulldozed over, right?
Yeah, it's a long and complicated history. So yeah. I'll give just a brief overview, and I'm gonna take you one step back because, you know, there was a real interest in earthworks and mounds in the Ohio River Valley that goes as far back as Thomas Jefferson, frankly, was mm-hmm. looking at mounds in Virginia in the 1780s. And so many of the people here knew of that interest, and they brought it, you know, when they moved from the east. Oh, people like Caleb Atwater, who was actually born in Massachusetts but came to Ohio and ended up living in Circleville, which for listeners who don't know, like Circleville had a circular earthwork. That's mm-hmm. where the name comes from. So they were really fascinated by these places, but there were a lot of different thoughts about who actually constructed them. So Atwater, you know, he mapped a ton of earthworks, very interested in them, but actually was not somebody who believed that American Indian people built them. Mm. Among the theories of the time were that people had come from the Indus Valley in India and had been here and built them, and then the native people that we know today had pushed them out. So there were all of these theories going on in the 19th century about who actually built the earthworks. So then you move on to like Squire and Davis. And Squire and Davis, these were incredible projects. These people mapped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of earthworks. So Squire and Davis, their publication is the first publication of the Smithsonian Institution, Ancient Monuments of the Mississippi Valley. And it's incredible. We go back to it all the time, right, to mm-hmm. their maps. But again, this was a time period when it was sort of, for a lot of people, an unsettled question about who had constructed them. And then fast forward a little bit, when you get to the 1880s and 90s, there was a real interest here in Ohio in preserving some of these places because they were getting plowed under. Mm-hmm. So actually the origin of Ohio History Connection in 1885 was about Hopewell, and it was about earthworks. And then Fort Ancient, that's one of these eight sites that's part mm-hmm. of the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks. That was the first state park in 1891. And so to wrap up that long story, in Chicago's World's Fair, in the Columbian Exposition in 1893, that was supposed to be this sort of celebration of 400 years since Columbus had so-called discovered America. And Frederick Ward Putnam from Harvard, he was putting together basically, you know, a display of objects that was supposed to like show off, you know, this part of the world. And he sent out people like Warren K. Moorhead to dig some of these sites. And it is very different from archaeology today, right? These were people who were digging into mounds. They were learning as they went, but they were really there to find things to put on display. And what we know is that many of these were burial mounds and these were burial items. So it was a different time, but that's sort of the trajectory of, you know, the history of archaeology really has its origins here in Ohio, that history in North America. So it's really interesting history. It's not what archaeology does now. But these people, many of them were advocates for the sites. So that's why it's complicated, right? Because they had all these different theories. They didn't believe Native people could have built them, but they were advocates for preserving them because they knew they were incredibly important. So we also owe them a great debt, because that's why many of the sites are here.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the new docuseries, Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land. And with us, we have Jennifer Altman from the Ohio History Connection, Logan York, who is the narrator, and WOSU's Diana Bergman. I was surprised to learn where the name Hopewell actually comes from, because I wrongly assumed that it was a tribal name. But how did Hopewell get named? Do you want to take that? You're pointing at each other, Logan.
Well, it was a family name, so it wasn't not a tribal name. It was a family name. The people who owned the land, that was their last name. So that's something that happens really commonly in archaeology, is it's either the archaeologist who discovers it or the owner of the land, and then that, if that's the type site, that's now what the culture is called. Or it's what that series of sites are called, or yada, yada, yada. But it's never the native name for what that could possibly be. And so I think that it reflects a past of not thinking that native people built these places. So why would you ask them? But we've since proven that we are the ones who built these sites. We are the ones who built the earthworks. And so bringing in tribal perspectives and tribal names, I think, is something that is going to start happening. It's just, how do we make it happen in a way that's like smooth and natural and it doesn't cost a whole bunch of money and cause problems?
Well, here are a couple of different takes on the name from the first episode of the docuseries. Talon Silverhorn is a cultural educator and a citizen of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma.
My reaction to the name Hopewell is mixed. I would say that there is no perfect title or name for these ancestral people, these ancestral practices.
And next we'll hear from Alex Weesaw, the tribal treasurer from Pokagon Band of the Potawatomi. Potawatomi, thank you. let's listen.
I hate the name personally, just to be candid. It's not representative of my history, my culture, my people, or any of the other tribes that historically have connection to these lands. And I would love to come up with some sort of intertribal name.
Yeah, Jennifer, let's talk about that idea of what Logan just explained, it's named Hopewell. And then there's a whole bunch of reactions to the name Hopewell. It's very, it's mixed because it is the
mixed
name.
Yep.
Yeah. So go ahead. Tell me more about that.
It's mixed. And, you know, I understand why it's mixed. Mordecai Cloud Hopewell, you know, he was the landowner. And again, like Logan said, that's the convention. But, you know, that's the way archaeologists name things, right? So I think we are in a space where we're embarking on a conversation about naming. It's been probably in the background more, and it needs to come more in the front. But, you know, in Ohio, where tribes were forcibly removed, it's a little more complicated than it might be in a place where you have resident tribes and you can, you know, they have a longstanding and continuous connection to the place. So I'm going to give you an example. There's actually a World Heritage site in Hawaii. And originally it had some very long and boring descriptive name. And Native Hawaiian groups came together and they made a new name for it. Mm. So many groups came together and created a word that they all agreed on. It's a long word. It's Papahanaumokuakea. But that's the name of that World Heritage site now. And it's really important that we say it. So I actually spent a lot of time learning how to say it because people spend a lot of time deciding that that's what it should be called. And I think that's the kind of thing that we can and should do here in Ohio.
And Logan, you mentioned, you know, that some of these were built 2,000 years ago. Do we know what people living there would have called themselves? We don't even really know what language exactly was.
Yeah, no, that's something that, you know, the movement of people and languages is something that's actively studied in archaeology, but we don't know exactly what they would have called themselves. Mm-hmm. The only thing I do know is that they wouldn't have called themselves Hopewell. Mm. It would have been some kind of mixture of the languages who are here 1,000 years later, probably. You know, it's going to be one of them or a mixture of all of them as languages change and devolve. 1,000 years, 2,000 years ago is still 1,000 years. It's a really long time. No, we don't know all of these things. These are things we are looking into. But I also think that, you know, as important as learning what the Hopewell would have called themselves, you know, deciding what we as modern tribal people want to call these things is equally as important. Mm.
Do you feel like when it was nominated, it had to have a name to be nominated. So you just went with Hopewell because that's what it was known to most people?
Yeah, and actually in the process of World Heritage, it starts with a step where there's each country in the United States has a tentative list for World Heritage sites. So it had been added to the tentative list in 2008 as the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks. Mm. So it was kind of already on that precursor list in the country. And then, of course, archaeologists, anthropologists, when you say Hopewell, it means something to them. It made sense at that time. And in certain ways, it makes sense now. But there are other things that make sense. And there really needs to be, you know, this conversation. Everyone's excited to have it, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Yeah. And is it something that you think someday, decades from now, it could have a new name?
Or I think that's quite possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and coming up, we're going to talk about what lessons we can learn from those who lived 2,000 years ago in Ohio. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking this hour about the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks and the new digital docuseries, Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land. Still with us is Logan York, a Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma. He's a citizen of the tribe, and he narrates the new digital docuseries. Thanks again for being here, Logan.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Altman from the Ohio History Connection served as a project director for the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks World Heritage Inscription Project. Thanks for being here, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
And Diana Bergman, content executive producer and project coordinator at WOSU Public Media. Thanks for being here, Diana.
Thanks, Amy.
So Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land is the project from WOSU Public Media. It's in collaboration with the Ohio History Connection, the National Park Service, and a tribal advisory council. It premieres tomorrow, that's Friday, November 7th, on WOSU's YouTube channel. Diana, talk to me a little bit more, first of all, about how people can see it. Tell me, WOSU's YouTube channel, tell me more.
Well, that's just it. I'm not sure when it will post tomorrow, but the thought is that it's a six-part docuseries, and so they will essentially release about every 6 weeks because they're pretty intensive. Do you want me to get into the specifics now?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
You know, as we put this project together, there's a lot of different moving parts. Five of these are operated by National Park Service, and three of them are operated by Ohio History Connection. So as we sort of like put this together, we really wanted to go to each site and kind of highlight the site, but also what we can learn about the people who built them and also the tribes that are connected. And so we really broke it up into six. So this first one is at Hopewell Mound Group, which is the type site. And this is with, and also gives the opportunity to highlight different experts because mm-hmm. there's a lot of different people involved with these sites. And this is what, you know, how do we know what we know about them? And then the second one, we go to SIPE. And, you know, what do we know about what their life was like, you know, their vibrant lives. And then the third one, we go to Hopeton and Bound City, which are in Chillicothe. And that's why did they gather? Because this idea of they just came to celebrate. There's just such a richer look at all the reasons that they were coming and mm-hmm. what we know. And then the fourth one, we get to go to Newark, Octagon mm-hmm. and the Great Circle to talk about their genius. You know, mm-hmm. how did they create these? What were they considering? The fifth one, we go to Fort Ancient and we really connect the modern tribes. What happened between the people who built these and the tribes we have today? Really making that connection. And the final one, we wanted to do the road to becoming a UNESCO World Heritage Site and really give all the people who put all their time and energy into getting these sites on that list. Like, what did that look like? Almost like a really inspirational roadmap because it was so successful. We really wanted to give sort of the voice to that. So I think through all of those, we really are going to tell this rich story and really be able to dig deep in there, mm-hmm. but also give a lot of different tribes the ability because there's what, how many tribes are connected to these 40, 50 tribes?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers keep changing, but mm-hmm. somewhere in the, around 50, so.
Right, and give opportunity for different tribes to come in and really give their perspective and sort of like their thoughts on these. So, and we're not going to touch everything because we mm-hmm. can't, right? 2,000 year ago sites, we can't touch everything, but we at least give people a voice, pique their interest. And you know what? They're going to find out more. So,
and so
this is completely free for people to watch, right?
Yep.
So if you just, you can subscribe to the WOSU YouTube channel, and then that way you won't miss any of them, because mm-hmm. when a new one drops, it'll come right up there in your feed on YouTube. But they'll also be embedded on WOSU's website as well.
Yeah, and we'll promote them, you know, a couple weeks out. We'll let people know when the next one's coming. Really, the story's continuing in the next one. And the hopes are potentially to put them on broadcast when they're all put together. So I just think that it's such an amazing story, and I hope people stick with it, because it's pretty great.
Yes. So for tomorrow, though, if you go to WOSU's YouTube channel or WOSU.org, it will be there. You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to watch it. And then if you just wait in 4 to 6 week increments, then more will come out, right?
Yeah. And we'll be promoting it, too.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So, Jennifer, I wanted to ask you more about what Diana was talking about, where she just mentioned all these different areas they went to, right? So the Hopewell Ceremony at Earthworks is not like just one place. It's not just, I said, it's not just Serpent Mound in Newark, you know? So,
yeah. No, it is not. In fact, Serpent Mound is not part of it, but it is separately on the U.S. tentative list for World Heritage.
I know. That's my Central Ohio-ness coming through, where when I think of a mound, that's what comes to mind. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and it's its own wonderful thing, and I'm happy to talk about it for a long time. But the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks, I mentioned at the top, there are 8 earthworks that are part of the World Heritage property. And so there's Fort Ancient in southwest Ohio, kind of north of Cincinnati. And then the 5 sites of Hopewell Culture National Historical Park, right in Chillicothe and Ross County. And then the 2 parts of the Newark Earthworks, the Great Circle and the Octagon, out in Newark. Mm-hmm. And so these 8 together tell a story, right? These are kind of like the biggest, most superlative sites. But there were hundreds and hundreds of earthworks around Ohio. Many of them were, you know, almost completely or completely plowed under. These places, for the reasons, you know, we've talked about previously, there were people who worked to save them. And so we're really lucky that they survived. But these 8 places, you can visit them today. You can do it in one day, but I recommend you take multiple days, take your time. Even just, for example, like Fort Ancient has 3.5 miles of earthen walls. And we have miles of hiking trail at Fort Ancient. So you can go and you can spend an entire day there. You can spend more than a day moving between the sites in Chillicothe, because there are other earthworks there that aren't part of the World Heritage nomination, but they're certainly worth seeing too. And then out in Newark, where you have the Octagon and the Great Circle, they were part of a big, huge complex together. They used to be connected by parallel walls. Now they sort of seem like separate sites, but if you spend your time and you carefully drive through Newark, or even take the time to walk between them, you get a sense of how incredibly huge that site was at the time it was constructed. And I always just remind people when you go, just you have to picture this. This is people built these one basket full at a time, one basket of earth at a time. And
They didn't have, I earlier joked about a bulldozer, but they did not have a bulldozer.
They did not. And you think about, these were communities that came together because they wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence that anyone was forcing anybody to do this. People were compelled to do it. And that's the really beautiful story of these places. So that's, I encourage people to visit them. You know, there are Ohio History Connection sites and National Park Service sites, and we have a website for the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks, and social media and so on, so you can learn more about them. But you have to carry that with you, right? You have to see they weren't just earthworks in the past. They had timber buildings and all kinds of different things happening. But also just think about the people, from small children to elders, all the people working together to build these places. It's really a truly incredible story.
Tell me a little bit more about going there, because I'm sure you can just go to each one and venture out on your own. But do you have some guided tours that can, like, can you come with me and explain this all?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, each site is run a little bit differently. And so there are guided tours offered. I encourage people to, you know, check the websites, call the sites themselves and ask when they can hop on a tour. So you can go to them. Fort Ancient in particular has a fairly large museum. So again, that's one you can really spend a lot of time at. But yes, we have staff. You want to talk to the staff. They are so excited about these places and love to share them. And yes, please hop on a tour.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about a new digital docuseries, Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land. With us is Jennifer Altman from the Ohio History Connection, the narrator of the docuseries, Logan York, and WOSU's Diana Bergman. I wanted to jump back to the docuseries for a moment because I found a part of it fascinating, the magnetometry. Am I saying that right? So what role did that help in discovering like certain sites? Logan, can you talk about that machine that you see? When you watch the episode, you'll see this machine and it's just basically like surveying the land, right?
Yeah, so it's a non-invasive way to look at what's under the soil. So there's a couple of different technologies we can use to do that. But what they do is allow us to see the shapes of things underground without having to dig them up, because archaeology is a destructive science. Once you dig something up, you can't put it back in the same way, especially soil sites. So like if there's a different colored soil there, you can see it with the naked eye or through photographs. But once you dig that thing up to see it, now you can't fix it. You can't put that stuff back. These ground-penetrating technologies allow us to actually look under and see broader sites. So all the wood hinges and all the wood buildings, we can see a broader story due to magnetometry, due to ground-penetrating radar. They allow us to see that broader story on the site. It's really, really cool. I love looking at magnetometry maps, but the problem is that once you do, you just keep finding new things to look at. So you'll see it and you're like, oh, I've had this map in my office for 3 years. And then you look at it again on some random Tuesday and then boom, you see a whole new building that you didn't notice before because it's, you know, in between two other buildings that you've known about for the whole time you've had it.
How far underground are we talking?
Ooh, how far can they go underground? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's fairly far. I'm by no means an expert, but I have heard of people using it to go several meters underground. Mm-hmm. These things are, you know, tend to be a meter or less at these sites.
And Jennifer talked earlier about how archaeology has evolved. And so it used to be a science of a lot of digging, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we're understanding more that if they were to dig at these sites, I mean, some of them are burial grounds. I mean, they would find a lot of things, but then they ruin it forever. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And, you know, oh, goodness, there's so much to unpack there. yes, so the archaeology as a science is changing. What its role is in telling stories is changing. The science that it uses, for one, it's become a science where, you know, when Squire and Davis were around, it was much more of an art form. Dynamite was a legitimate archaeological tool to use. And now we basically use razor blades to shave the ground. We don't actually hardly dig anymore when you're doing archaeology by hand. You're actually shaving the ground to see things. So it takes forever to do that. But we also, you know, we have a lot of stuff already. So that desire to use archaeology is less to find things and it's more to tell stories. And so less and less do you see, you know, the need to do that at the broader academic level. In mitigation efforts, yes, you need to dig. You need to be able to go in and save things, or the knowledge that could be lost through projects. That's the 106 side of things that I was talking about earlier. But it's more important to tell the story, I think, now. And that is partly due to tribal perspectives on what our history is and who should be telling it and what should be told. And where is appropriate to dig and study. I think that's a big one is, yes, these are cemeteries. You know, they're not just, you know, some, you know, deposit of bones there. Mm. That's my direct ancestor, you know, going back 2,000 years. But that's still somebody I'm personally connected to. And so we really don't like to see that. These are people. They deserve respect. And so we don't like to see anything being done to them, if at all possible.
Diana, I wanted to talk for just a couple of minutes before we end about the creation of the digital docuseries, because the earthworks, some of them, if you're standing on the ground, you can't really get the perspective of it. So tell me about all of these shots that the people, when they watch the first episode tomorrow, they're going to see a lot of drone shots. I mean, tell me about the need for those shots, because you can't get it all from the ground.
Yes, for us, it was very important because it's a big, rich story. And when we talk about the complexity of these things, especially we use a lot of Logan traveling, you know, it's kind of like the Lord of the Rings of Hopewell. You can't see a lot of things from ground perspective. And especially at Hopewell Mound Group, a lot of the features are gone. So they use like interpretive mowing and stuff. So you can kind of see where the walls used to be and where a mound and everything. And so to tell that story by just looking at the ground, it would be hard. But to just, you know, get above them and to see them and to see that perspective is amazing. But what's interesting about this is the idea that when we think about when they were creating them, they were actually creating them from the ground perspective.
Right,
they couldn't see our viewpoint of it. And so it's interesting that as we use those shots, I'm like, this is so interesting. But it was much needed. I think it would have been a shorter story to not use it. But I think for our audience, they want to see sort of like, you know, just like they're really, they're imprints into the land. And then when you see them from that perspective, you're like, wow, what geniuses they were. I cannot believe they created these, you know.
Yeah. You know, if I could add one thing to that, I think, too, we haven't really talked about the fact that there are a lot of these earthworks are aligned like to the sun or the moon. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can only really wrap your head around at that big scale. So that's why another reason why those shots are so important.
We have been talking about the new docuseries, Hopewell Earthworks, Stories Written on the Land. And with us this hour, we have had Logan York, Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma. He also narrates the new digital docuseries. Thank you for joining us today, Logan.
Yes, thank you for having me. This has been awesome.
And Jennifer Altman is from the Ohio History Connection. She serves as Project Director for the Hopewell Ceremonial Earthworks World Heritage Inscription Project. Thanks for joining us, Jennifer.
Truly my pleasure. Thank you.
And Diana Bergman, Content Executive Producer and Project Coordinator at WOSU Public Media. Thanks for your time today, Diana.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And you can watch the first episode. It premieres tomorrow, Friday, November 7th, on WOSU's YouTube channel. So be sure to subscribe to the channel so you don't miss the upcoming episodes. This is the first of a 6-part series. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Jurevich.